When the pasuk tells us about what happened with the episode of Korach, not in Parshas Korach, but in Parshas Pinchas, it explicitly tells us, as Rav Judah told us the other night, "Ubnei Korach lo mesu." Korach died; his children did not die. And the Abenazer comments that that's very significant because the children of Dasan and Aviram died, but Korach's children got to survive. And the reason, according to the Abenazer, is Ra'as Dasan va'Aviram. Kasha me ra'as Korach. Wow, what a phrase. Ra'as Dasan v'Avirim, the evil of Dasan v'Avirim, was kasha me ra'as Korach, was worse than the evil of Korach. It's just a little surprising. You know, I understand on a certain level, that's why when the Torah recounts the story in Sefer Devarim, in Perikin Aleph, the Pasuk says that the onesh was v'asher asa l'dasan v'Avirim. The onesh was the onesh that happened to Dasan and Aviram, and nothing about Korach. And even in Tehillim, when the Pasuk recounts, as Rav Judah was talking about the other night, all of the downfalls of the Jewish people in the Midbar, it says, Tiftach Eretz Vativla Dasan Vatichas Aladas Aviram Vativar Esh Ba'adasam Lahava Tahalit Rushayim. Amazingly, David HaMelech is recounting the story of Korach, and guess who he doesn't mention at that point? He doesn't mention Korach. Why are Dasan and Aviram worse than Korach? Why did they get... You know, and if they are worse than Korach, then why does Korach get all the credit, right? Meaning this is the rebellion of Korach. Everyone gives Korach the credit. It's his name in the parasha, right? His name is signed on the check. And yet Dasan and Aviram are the one whose account it's coming out of. So why does that make any sense? Furthermore, when Moshe tries to deal with the rebellion, he calls for a meeting with who? Dasan and Aviram. Not for a meeting with Korach. And Korach was related to him. That's sort of what caused the problem to begin with, that Korach was related to him. Presumably, he should have been able to reason with Korach based on the fact they have a previous relationship. So what was his intention in reaching out Dafka to Dasan and Aviram? Like, their role over here is very interesting. Third, Vayikach Korach is what we call in English a dangling modifier. Why? Korach took. Oh yeah? What did he take? It never tells us what he took. So Rashi explains it means, Lokach es atzmo l'tzad echad, lios nechlak mitoch eda l'orah l'kuna, that he took himself to one side to fight against the kuna, and v'zeo shetir gemokulis v'ispalig, nechlak mishara eda l'achzik m'machlokas. What it really means is, he divided himself. He cut himself off. He moved to the other side. He moved away from the tzibur. That's what vayikach really means. So it's not that he took something. It's that he split off. Now that would make sense why there's no modifier. I get that. But it doesn't explain why that word is used by the Torah. Meaning if the Torah wanted to say that he split off, vayipared, I don't know, something that says that he separated, that he split. Vayikach is not the normal word to use to describe that a person split off, that a person decided to move away from the tzibur. So I think over here what you have is a dual message of machlokes between Korach and Moshe, and that is a message of proper Jewish leadership and how to react when someone starts a machlokes with you. And I think through that we'll be able to answer all three questions. We understand what proper Jewish leadership means and how to react when there is machlokas, which is inevitable in the Jewish people. So first of all, Korach is described as vayikach because his entire purpose, his entire attitude is that of self-interest. The Torah uses that word, vayikach, because vayikach implies that a person is a taker, that a person is interested in what he can get out of any situation. So yes, what it really means is he divided, he split off. But the Torah is trying to express to us why he divided, why he split off. He split off because he wanted what was best for him. It doesn't even say vayikhu, even though Korach had plenty of support, because he was the only one that was actually taking. And that's why Moshe's response is, when this happens, Moshe's response in this week's parasha, lo chamor echad mehem nasasi. You want to know what a Jewish leader is? I never took anything from you. I had every right to expense it to the business when I had to take a donkey and get my wife and children on a donkey to go back to Mitzrayim. I never took that from you. I didn't expense it to the business. It was from my own money. Lo chamarach mehem nasasi. Harry Truman once said that, and this quote someone told me is on Malcolm Hulnine's desk. So if anyone ever goes to Malcolm Hulnine's office, you can tell me if it's true. That the following quote: you'd be amazed at how much you can accomplish when you don't care who gets the credit for it. Right? If you're a Vayikach Korach, your interest in leadership is to be the one who gets the credit, to be the one who is celebrated. Great Jewish leaders are not interested in the credit. And maybe that's part of the idea behind Das Torah. You know, a lot of people talk about going to great Talmidei Chachamim to ask for advice. I don't know, does that the great sage know more about business than a businessman knows about business? Well, what's he going to seek Eitzah for? You know, does a Zaken who hasn't raised children in the last 50 years know about the challenges of me raising my children in the year 2019? How does he know? Does he understand kids better than we do? No, the idea, I think, is that if he's truly great, he'll give an unbiased opinion without ever thinking about himself, without ever thinking about how he can benefit from your choices. You know, you can imagine, you go to ask someone, oh, should I continue to work or should I retire, right? And the person's thinking, well, you're the biggest supporter of my yeshiva, so if you retire, that could be trouble for me. You know, but we believe that when you go to people who are ethical Talmidei Chachamim, that they're in a certain sense unbiased and removed. And that's the sense of Jewish leadership. That's the sense of Das Torah. That's Yisod number one. Yisod number two is that when facing some sort of rebellion or some sort of attack, a selfless person, a real leader, does not immediately become defensive and fight back. So we mentioned the other day, Rav Yisrael Salanter said, if you're right in a machlokas, if you have the correct position, make sure you stay right. A lot of times the machlokas will start and you'll be right. But as the machlokas goes on, as you continue, by the end, you're not right anymore. You're not in the right because you resorted to underhanded or ill-advised or inappropriate methods of getting your point across. We, you know, the people have machlokas l'shem shemayim. We just saw a great example yesterday. You know, when we mentioned Tcheles, Rav Yisrael Reisman, right? So what was his response? My son wears it. My son-in-law wears it. I don't have a problem with them wearing it. I just think it's a major mistake. You know, one could get so agitated, discredit everybody. They're a bunch of tziyanim. You know, but that's not the way. That's not the way Gadol argues. We don't resort to that. We start to think that since we're right, we could speak lashon hara about other people. We could stop being a mensch. We could start questioning their motives. But when we veer in that direction, that's when we stop being right. So sometimes the best way to react is even to just retreat instead of to escalate the machlokas. So Moshe invites Dasan and Aviram for a conversation instead of firing back. It's only when that tactic failed that Moshe Rabbeinu has to engage in a more aggressive approach. A lot of times we don't realize that the machlokas itself is all the strength we need. We don't need to add strength to it. Lamashal, I had one of my children once got suspended from school. He got his licks in. He did good. You know, he deserved it. So anyway, on the way back into school, you have to have a meeting with the parent and the kid and the principal. And I was like, I didn't know what this was going to be like. This was the first time that I had ever attended such a meeting. So Rabbi Krigsman, who was the principal of the school, Yeshiva Ketan of Long Island, sat there throughout the entire meeting, praising my son. Saying, I didn't give away which kid it was, I have four sons, praising my son, saying how amazing he is, and how far he's come, and how wonderful he is. And I'm like, what's he doing? I mean, the kid just got suspended, right? Is that? And then I realized, this is what a mechanech does. The punishment spoke volumes. That's all he needed to hear. Now at this point, it's not about escalating it, it's about bringing him back. You know, telling you up until this minor slip up, you've been so wonderful. The punishment was loud enough. Everything else can be expressed benachas. Sometimes the machlokas, the actual issue is loud enough. How we express it, that could be done benachas. That could be done with great respect. When Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwitz, the Chacham Livracha, the founding Rosh Yeshiva Keren Biavne, there's a video of this online, asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, whether his son should stay learning in Panovich, where he was learning in the Kailal, or he should bring him to Keren Biavna, hire him as a Rebbe, because that's where yeshivas work sometimes. It's like a family business. So he said, my wife wants my son to be making a living, so I have this yeshiva, I can easily hire him, but he's learning nicely and he's happy in his learning. Now, if I was a Lubavitch Rebbe, and someone would ask, should he stay learning in Panovich? Panovich? You know what Rav Shach said about me? You know, do you know? I mean, you shouldn't know. But there was major machlokas. L'shem Shemayim, no doubt. Well, Babich Rebbe did. It wasn't even Baba Cheshbon that these are people who trash him and who say that he's terrible and he's a Russia and he's. No, lo Baba Cheshbon. He says, oh, he's learning well? Let him stay in learning. Because that's how a Gadol reacts. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell the story, but my friend Rabbi Shai Schechter told me that when his uncle, who happens to be Rav Gifter's son, was sitting Shiva a couple of years ago for his sister, Rebbetzin Eisenman from Baltimore, about a year and a half ago, I guess, he recalled how Rav Gifter Zatzal, how he publicly and very strongly criticized the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal. Now, a while later, when Rav Gifter moved to Israel, I mean, it wasn't unusual for Litvisher Rosh Yeshiva to attack the Lubavitcher Rebbe for whatever reason. These were machlokos that are so far above us, we don't have to get involved. But a while later, when Rav Gifter moved to Israel and he started Telstone, and the yeshiva community was a big financial bust to the point that Rav Gifter had to return to America, there was a knock at Rav Gifter's door. Somebody had come as a messenger from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, saying that he had heard of the financial difficulties Rav Gifter was facing, and that the Rebbe decided that he would take it upon himself, the financial responsibilities of the project, so that Rav Gifter could focus on learning and teaching on the ruchnius that he was put on this earth to do. The level of vatranus that whoever's right in the machlokas, we're not getting into that. But the level of vatranus that takes, because obviously the Rebbe thought he was right, so the level of atranus that takes to be mevater to that extent is beyond words. When a leader has no interest in himself, but just in enhancing kavod shamayim, he could stand above the fray and he could put any machlokas or personal humiliation behind himself. Fast forward many years, Lubavitcher Chassid moves it's the Rebbe's yard site tomorrow, so I think, in 2 days. So Lubavitcher Chassid moves into a community, doesn't have a Lubavitcher mikveh. His wife has to travel great distances every month to attend the mikveh. At his first community rabbinic meeting, the Lubavitch rabbi says, it's a Lubavitch rabbi I know well actually, he says, would it be possible to build a mikveh that meets the standards of Chabad? Another rabbi in that community, who I also know well, who happens to be the son-in-law of a major Rosh Yeshiva, who publicly said really harsh things about the Rebbe, gets up and says, what do you mean follow Chabad practices? We have our own community standards. Nobody told you to come here. No one told you to open up shop here. We have plenty of shuls here. Get out of town if you don't like it. You're not going to come here and change things. The Chabad rabbi was like stunned. He said he never felt such sinna in his life. And he left the meeting. A week later, he gets a phone call from the Litvisher Rav apologizing and saying, you know what? I have to work on my Avas Yisrael. Tell me what I can do. So the Chabad rabbi says, learn Tanya with me. It's a very Chabad kind of response. And the Litvisher Rav says he wouldn't even know which way to hold the Tanya. So he said, no, b'chavrusa, we'll do it together. And for decades, that chavrusa continued once a week. And a close relationship was forged. What goes around comes around. Right? The father-in-law of that Rav who trashed, yeah. The opposite of de-escalating is Dasan and Aviram. They're the opposite. According to the Ibn Ezra, they're worse than Korach. Because unlike every other character in the rebellion, Dasan and Aviram had no motivation, no self-interest, nothing to gain. What were they involved? Because there was a machlokas going on. If there's a good fight going on, they have to be there. Like flies drawn to the garbage. They just have to be involved. There's a good fight. It's like... something terrible happens, a crowd draws, it's bad enough that most people fight the fights that they were invited to. Dasan and Aviram fight other people's fights. So Rav Shach used to always tell us, a person has a meshugas, he has some crazy shita, it doesn't make him a meshugana. But a person who goes around collecting everyone else's meshugas and then making them all his, that's a meshugana. Right? A person gets into an argument once, okay, so he's not necessarily a Baal Machlokas, but a person who has to fight everybody's argument, that's a Baal Machlokas. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu specifically calls for Dasan Aviram when he wants to de-escalate. He's targeting the people who are most responsible for just blowing up the Machlokas much more than it had to be. So Machlokas is a very important part of our religion. We're a passionate people. We have this, what's called Ritcha D'Oraisa. We get Lebedik in our Machlokas. But two critical messages, and making sure that we're not in it for ourselves, that we're mamish l'shem shemayim, we're in it for a higher purpose, and that we can argue correctly without unnecessarily escalating things until they get out of control, that we should always maintain a deep love for the other side. Those two messages. That's how machlokas happens right. No self-interest, and maintaining a deep love, making sure that we're not going beyond what it needs to be. That's part of our heritage. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us many years ago, and what many, many great Jewish leaders have taught us in the generations since then.